212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Or visiting the Donate to Our Tower Fund at the top of the BAI website page. And Arts Express thanks you.
The time now is 2:30. Stay tuned for Ecologic. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org or online. Stay tuned.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could know if we listen.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for December 17th, 2021.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Happy holidays. Occupy Biden hopes this holiday season will be a wake-up call to what climate activists are demanding.
Our guest today will tell you of an action happening near Biden's home between Christmas and New Year's.
Welcome to Ecologic, Karen. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. My name is Karen Igo. I'm with Occupy Biden, which is a week-long occupation here in Wilmington, Delaware, near President Biden's neighborhood, where we will demand that he take strong action on climate crisis right now.
So, Karen, tell us what you're planning.
What we have planned is a week-long occupation from Christmas Day at noon until New Year's Day, where we will occupy some public land 24/7 that entire week, just to put ourselves in a vulnerable position and in the way that, that really everyone and everything in the world is, to align with everything to demand that Biden, you know, pay attention, do everything within his power to address our climate crisis. And we do have two specific demands: that he declare a national climate emergency and that he pledge to allow no more new fossil fuel projects.
What's been leading up to this?
Oh, well, all kinds of issues, as I'm sure people have been noticing. Really, you can't look away from climate change at this point. But we just feel like, as long-term activists, we've just seen everything get progressively worse and worse. We are still subsidizing fossil fuels. You know, we are still opening up new lands for drilling. And we just feel like, apparently, the powers that be are not listening to the scientists, that we want to put pressure on them to listen to the people that elected them and to do what's best for us and for the planet that we all live on, not to mention the rest of the world.
Tell us about the grandmother's walk. That was so cool.
Yes. So the grandparents' walk for their grandchildren and for Mother Earth was a 10-day walk that over 15 senior activists had put together, where they walked from Scranton, Pennsylvania, which is Biden's birthplace, of course, to Wilmington, Delaware. They stopped in environmental justice communities along the way and, of course, had no shortage of that opportunity in Pennsylvania. Just really trying to demand attention again to our climate crisis and the fact that, you know, our not only our grandchildren, but even our children are facing dire circumstances, as we are even right now. And then it culminated in a nonviolent civil disobedience action at Chase Bank credit card headquarters here in Wilmington, Delaware, where 15 of us risked arrest and were indeed arrested and charged with disorderly conduct to bring attention to this crisis.
How did that trial go?
The trial was a success in the fact that we were able to get several documents onto the record or into the record, including an IPCC summary and some other professional opinions about how climate crisis is affecting people's health and the environment. But we were found guilty of civil disobedience. We tried to be found not guilty on the basis of the lesser of two evils defense, or choice of two evils defense, that we have here in Delaware. You know, us being in the street blocking traffic being less of an evil than Chase Bank funding ecocide. But the judge did not see our vision the way that we wanted her to. So we were found guilty and fined $50, although one grandparent refused to pay, and he is doing work duty here in Wilmington.
So he continues to do good. That's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was a win. It was disheartening because the grandparents worked so hard. This group of activists is, you know, just amazing the way they work together and complement each other's skills so well, and yet still are very direct and honest with each other and walk away from it still knowing they're, you know, a unified force. But, so we were a little disheartened by the guilty verdict, but we are grateful that we made the splash that we did, and we did get some pretty decent press coverage over it.
So that walk was back in June, right? So there have been other actions since then?
Yeah, that's right. So their walk was back in June, and then our first trial date was set for September, and even though the trial was postponed, they had planned a couple of other actions for here. We planned another walk from Chase Bank, where we were arrested, to President Biden's neighborhood, right outside of his neighborhood, about 3/4 of a mile from his home. And we picked up people along the way through the city. So our group just got bigger and bigger as we walked through town. We had banners and we had, you know, drummers. And every time we would go by a high school, we were joined by youth. We had six different high schools represented, and over 100 people, speakers, drumming, and we took a box of letters and photographs and mementos to President Biden's home in an effort to say to him from the youth that were attending this action to do all that he can, because they're terrified for their future. You can see it in their faces, and you can hear it in their words. They're angry. Several of them spoke at our rally at this same location, and you know, it's really upsetting to have this be ignored. And indeed it was. When we tried to take our box of letters to the president, we were denied and not allowed to give it to him, even though we had worked all, you know, a couple of months to get Secret Service to take this box of letters from us. And we do have a documentary film about it, which is on YouTube under the Beyond Extreme Energy channel.
And I think, to be clear, you really want to get it across to people, I think, that that there is that this is not about bashing Biden. This is about not getting enough done.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we are in Biden country here, and we understand that it's a tough job, but we also understand that we are in a climate emergency, and not doing every single thing possible is not acceptable. And I did not say politically impossible. I mean, it has to be, anything possible has to be done, and politics needs to be put aside. So we are really demanding that he use his executive power, which he can do. We've done a lot of research on what he actually can do without the support of the legislature. And so we are expecting him to do these things based on the fact that the people, especially the people of color and the youth, especially through Sunrise that helped get him elected, you know, they're really demanding that that he do swift action. So we are really hoping that he will listen to us and follow through.
Now, some of the Green Party people would disagree with me, but he kind of ran on a pro-climate platform, right? So
he absolutely did. And we have studied the things that he promised to do and hasn't done, you know, including one thing that I feel like is really important is the Civilian Climate Corps. I don't believe that has even left the discussion phase at this point, even though it was supposed to be started up after 90 days. So we do greatly feel that he has not got our best interest at heart. It would be one thing if he wasn't taking strong climate action, but also wasn't supporting fossil fuels. But obviously that's not the case, considering what I've already mentioned. And then this massive, you know, defense budget that's just gone through, you know, knowing that the American military is the largest user of fossil fuels, I believe, in the world. So we've really got it wrong here. We've really got it backwards. And that with our, you know, this impending crisis with our democracy and COVID, racial injustice, you know, we really have a lot of crisis kind of culminating all together. So we feel like we can all agree that we need a livable planet. And so that is what this event is about, is bringing everyone that we can to the table. We may not agree with every part of their platform, but we can all agree that if we listen to the scientists, we have about 5 or 6 years left to do anything meaningful about addressing our climate crisis. You know, just this past week, the big glacier that they saw, you know, getting ready to fall apart within 3 to 5 years. I mean, these things are happening in real time. Here in Wilmington, Hurricane Ida left people being rescued from their homes in boats, and they are still not back in their homes. So, you know, this is all happening right now in front of our eyes. It cannot be ignored, and it cannot be bandied about by politicians who themselves are making millions of dollars off of fossil fuels. It's really disgusting. So, no, we are not bashing Biden, but we sure are paying attention. And he is one of the most powerful men in the world, and he happens to live right here in our neighborhood.
Yeah, I was thinking about the climate conference in Glasgow just a few weeks ago. And Biden was not going to go there. And when hundreds of people did civil disobedience in Washington about the subject of climate, he decided to go. Now, to my eyes and ears, all he did was make speeches, because right after that was the largest lease of fossil fuel ever. So to me, they're just speeches. I don't care what he says. I care about what he does.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that COP was meaningless, just like they've all been meaningless. All the conferences have been meaningless. None of them have any kind of, you know, consequences if people don't follow through with what they're saying. 2050, which is what people are talking about, is way too late. Even 2035, which is in his most recent climate plan, too late. It has to happen now. Net zero, not okay. You know, we need to stop emissions. We don't need to be able to let rich corporations still emit and then pretend like they're going to somehow remove that from the atmosphere by doing what? Preserving a piece of land? How about you do both? Don't emit and preserve the land. So, yeah, he's not fooling anyone with his empty rhetoric at all. And the youth are getting angrier and angrier about this. And who can blame them? And I was one of those 650 people that got arrested in D.C. that week. And I'm glad to hear that you feel like I did not realize that's what kind of prompted him to go. So thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, wow. How could you of all people not know?
I don't know. I guess I was busy and getting arrested.
Yeah, but you know, it was still greenwashing. And it occurred to me today, thinking about, you know, some greenwashing I read about in the newspaper yesterday, and greenwashing that happened in court in New York City yesterday, that the fact that they need to greenwash, they feel it important that they pretend to be environmental, shows that, well, we've made some sort of an inroad, not the inroad we wanted, but something has happened.
Yeah, and 23 national governments and the EU have formally declared a climate emergency. So we're not totally out on the fringe on this, right?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Unfortunately, those climate emergency declarations have quite frequently been just rhetoric and empty promises. Yeah. So we are crafting during the occupation. We'll be working on crafting some documents around our demands as far as putting teeth to them, because it's quite clear our government literally does not know what to do. I mean, if they do know and they're not doing it, then that's even worse. But it's my opinion that they literally don't know what to do. So, you know, we have to think outside of the box here, and we have to support tech companies, smaller companies, give them the subsidies, not the fossil fuel companies, so that people can figure out a way through this crisis that does not involve continuing to, you know, rape and pillage the land, which all the solutions that we have at this point are all about still growth, you know, still the economy, and still, you know, extracting from Mother Earth, and quite frequently either in endangered lands or tribal lands. We are not okay with that. You know, we're looking for a just transition to get us through this crisis, which includes degrowth, which includes livable cities, walkable cities, you know, ending car culture. You know, we are not looking to prop up the Western way of life on the backs of the South, the global South. You know, we as activists will not stand by and feel good about, you know, lowering our climate emissions while other people continue to suffer that are least responsible for our crisis. So this event is not only about demanding action on climate crisis, but it's also about just really trying to unify our voices so that we have routes laid down for mutual aid, because things will only get worse from here. And we have to be able to know each other and know what each other's skills and assets are so that we can take care of each other better. So that's the second part of this action, is really building community and getting everyone to the table.
Wow.
Well, Karen, who is involved in this coalition? What organizations are you working with, or I guess it's both groups and individuals?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, you know, we've got a lot of organizations from up and down the East Coast, definitely Beyond Extreme Energy, and we've got some financial support from Build Back Fossil Free. Of course, the grandparents, and they're all involved in several organizations where they live, primarily around anti-fracking and around stopping pipelines, Mountain Valley Pipeline and Line 3. There's also Sunrise Delaware, as well as Sunrise Baltimore is involved. Fridays for Future throughout Delaware is involved. Extinction Rebellion from up and down the East Coast is involved. Climate Mobilization, Working Families Party, Poor People's Campaign. I'm probably missing some,
wow,
but that's the ones off the top of my head.
It's a great group.
Yeah, and we're inviting all different organizations to come and speakers, you know, just really trying to get the word out to people. We're offering, we've gotten already fundraising enough to have a caterer, Seeds of Peace, which this is what they do, is they cater events like this. So they're very like-minded, and we're going to have meals provided for people who attend, because we want to make it more welcoming. It will be cold, and we will be, you know, uncomfortable, but we know how important, you know, having food is and taking care of each other in that way. So we are, it's ramping up. We're getting a lot of support for this action. It's actually been a little surprising how many people are coming on board. Oh yeah, Philly Water Protectors, they're involved as well. Which is a wonderful group fighting pipelines as well. That just popped into my head, but yeah.
So I would imagine that while you're doing this between Christmas and New Year's, people are going to be hearing it. You're going to make actually mainstream media. And I want to remind BAI listeners, you heard it here first. guys, you're going to hear about this again.
Yeah, absolutely. We really hope so. Melinda Tuhus, which she's been a lifelong journalist, she's been working on our media. We've definitely contacted national as well as, you know, regional and local news. I'll be writing some letters to the editor, really hoping to get the word out here, because of course, you know, without it being in the press, it will fall on deaf ears. So we are grateful, so grateful for this opportunity to spread the word, and are hopeful that it will be picked up far and wide.
Is there a website that people will be able to connect with if you're trying to find out information from out of the area?
There is a web page that will get you to the information, and it's off of my business. I own a farm-to-table grocery store that's also become a hub for social and environmental justice issues here in Wilmington, Delaware. It's called Honeybee Kitchen and Market. If you go if you Google Honeybee Kitchen and Market Occupy Biden, you would get to that page. We also are at Occupy Biden on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, as well as on Eventbrite. So please do look for us there. There's contact forms there. You can also email us at occupybiden@gmail.com if you have any questions or want to help out. We have a fundraising page on Beyond Extreme Energy's website. So if you can't attend but you believe in our mission, please do help us out with a donation. Please spread the word. We really would love, and come out for an hour, come out for the whole week. We would love to have you there.
This sounds like a good way to spend your holiday season too. Are you inviting other people to come join you?
We're inviting everyone to come join us. We're going to even invite President Biden. And, you know, I'll be honest, this isn't, I don't like being cold, and I'm already nervous about it, but, we feel like we have to stand in solidarity with the rest of the world at this point, and hopeful that the rest of the world will see us with pity instead of disdain. We're trying to help here in America.
Well, good. As usual, the time flies by and we do need to wrap this up. But thanks for joining us, everyone. For more information, you can reach Karen Igo at OccupyBiden@gmail.com and on Twitter and Instagram @ Occupy Biden.
Join us next week, December 24th at 2:30 p.m. to hear about the latest news about East River Park. Donna, you have an update from J.K. Canepa?
I do. This is from J.K. Canepa, who's a longtime activist working on this. You've heard her on Ecologic before. The destruction of East River Park is underway. Many listeners will remember that the mayor replaced the original community plan for flood protection for the East Village and Lower East Side with a much different plan. Community members bearing witness to the loss are trying to find ways to stop the destruction. They're welcoming folks every day at 1 p.m. in the park down by the foot of the Houston Street overpass by the construction fence. And they've cut down a lot of trees. They've destroyed a very old amphitheater, which is where Joe Papp's first Shakespeare in the Park took place. And as far as I'm concerned, that when the courts issue a restraining order, and then when you say, hey, they're not following your restraining order, and they go, okay, the rule of law is meaningless. There is no rule of law when it applies to people who want to destroy a park and the community that uses that park.
To get environmental news on a variety of topics and to listen to this show again and to any of our past shows, go to www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org. You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
You can help us keep WBAI alive and healthy and Ecologic on the air. WBAI is making a year-end push to pay for our transmitter rent. Donating to the Transmitted Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. Go to towerfund.wbai.org.
You can even donate in the name of Ecologic. help keep this listener-sponsored radio station on the air. Call 212-209-2950 or go to towerfund.wbai.org. Pledging now during the show really helps Ecologic especially.
Help WBAI take charge of our transmission tower rent. Our rent is more than $17,000 every month. It's about $250,000 a year, so we need everybody.
Things are looking up for Pacifica and WBAI, so let's make a big effort to get this transmitter rent paid for. We need you.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected with us. Those of you on social media, please search for Eco-Logic.
And thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us December 24th at 2:30 p.m. to hear about the East River Park struggle.
For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Former Minnesota police officer Kim Potter choked up on the witness stand and buried her face in her hands today as she recounted the moment she fatally shot Dante Wright while yelling taser in a traffic stop turned arrest earlier this year. Quote, "We were struggling. We were trying to keep him from driving away. It just went chaotic," Potter testified through tears. "And then I remember yelling, taser, 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 and nothing happened. And then Wright told me I shot him." Potter is charged with first and second degree manslaughter in Wright's death. The 26-year veteran of the Brooklyn Center Police Department quit 2 days after the shooting, along with the police chief. She was arrested the next day. President Biden, in a meeting with his COVID response team, warned of a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated Americans as coronavirus cases spike across the country. According to the New York Times, the U.S. is reporting more than 120,000 new cases a day on average. That's a 40% increase from 2 weeks ago, and 70% more than when cases stopped falling in early November. A vaccine mandate for healthcare workers has been revived in 26 states after judges on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled a lower court only had authority to block the mandate in the 14 states that had sued. The appeals court repealed the nationwide injunction on President Biden's rule that healthcare facilities require staff vaccinations or lose federal funding. The mandate remains blocked in the 14 states which sued, all in the South. South Africa today announced a donation of more than 2 million vaccine doses to other African countries in what President Cyril Ramaphosa described as his country's solidarity with the continent. "The only way in which we can prevent COVID-19 transmission and protect economies and societies on our continent is to successfully immunize a critical mass of the African population with safe and effective vaccines," Ramaphosa said. Just 20 African countries have fully vaccinated at least 10% of their populations. And the World Health Organization says Africa might not reach a 70% vaccination target until the second half of 2024. Biden released a statement acknowledging that Democrats won't be able to pass his nearly $2 trillion Build Back Better bill until next year. Democrats had hoped to approve the legislation seeking to expand the social safety net before the end of 2021. The president said negotiations with Joe Manchin, who holds a crucial vote, will cause lawmakers to miss the deadline. The child tax credit is the main sticking point for the West Virginia Democrat, who is raising concerns about the overall cost of the legislation. Biden says his team is still in talks with Manchin and that he still thinks the bill will eventually pass.
The Republican National Committee has agreed to pay up to $1.6 million in legal bills for twice impeached, one term, former President Trump. The payments